We're coming to the end of another book, Leviticus. We're putting it behind us. Well, maybe not we're putting it behind us, but we're finishing the book of Leviticus. It's a book of instructions from Adonai. It's a book of how the Levites were supposed to live, how the priests were supposed to live, and how they were supposed to attend to the needs or wants of Adonai. But, excuse me, it's also a book about how we're supposed to live. Now, in Hebrew, the book of Leviticus is called Vayikra, which means, and he called, because in Leviticus 1:1, it starts out with Adonai calling Moses to tell the people the instructions and the guidelines that he told Moses to pass upon to other, to the, all of the people. They were to be told how to live, how to be priests and ambassadors is what we get out of it. We're to be the ambassadors and the priests of Adonai. And here in this portion, it's called Bechukotei, which means my laws. We continue to get instructions on what Adonai expects from us. Now, many people, and it can be easily done, they look at the book of Leviticus and they say, it's just what, you know, it's a do this, do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. It's all what Adonai expects from us. It's what he wants from us. But you know what? That's not totally true. It's not just what he wants from us. And it can, you know, people look at scripture all the way through and they say that's what it is. It's just a book to tell us how to act, what to do, what's good, what's bad. But it's more than that. It's actually a book of a relationship. Our relationship with him. And that means it really goes two ways. He expects from us, and we fully understand that, right? We understand he expects from us, but we are to also expect some things from him as well. We're in a relationship, and it only works when he speaks and we listen to what he has to say to us. But it's also true that when we speak or when we act, we expect him to listen. We expect him to act back when we act. We expect him to respond to us just as much as we expect him to he expects us to respond to him. I'm not saying that he owes anything to us, that just because we say doesn't mean he should do. But I'm saying that in a relationship like a parent and a child, right? The parent is always going to be happier, more wanting to do something for the child when the child is good to them back. When we're in a relationship with a spouse, if only one is doing all the giving, it's not going to last very long, is it? You may say to yourself, I'm in a relationship with Adonai, and I give, and he receives only. But it's not true. It never has been. It's a give and take. And maybe perhaps more accurately, we give and he gives. Neither one of us takes, just like a healthy relationship with men and women. Neither takes, but both actually give. You would think that if anyone was in a position to just take, it would be the one true God. But that's not the case. Even he doesn't want to take from you what you're not freely giving to him. And the opposite's also true. You're not to take from Adonai what is not being freely given by him. This is the nature of relationships, giving freely, but only taking what's being freely offered. We're not to force our wants on our spouse or our significant others, and they're not to force themselves on us. Adonai has never wanted to force himself onto anyone, but he does want to freely give to everyone in the world. So today I want to review a few things that we can expect to receive from Adonai when we're in a relationship with him that he wants to offer freely. And I would say that he not only wants to offer it freely, he wants to offer it in abundance. I'll be taking these things from three pieces of liturgy that we say each week in hopes that when we say them in the future, they'll be more than just words in our mouth, but ideas that we can draw on to understand the relationship that we have with Adonai, one which is to give, one which is us giving and him giving. I'll be drawing on a few things from the Shema, the Avot, and the Gibor Adonai today. We said them just not too long ago in the service, but let's look at them perhaps in a different light than you're used to saying them or used to seeing them. I've always tried to encourage you to listen to the words of the liturgy, but today I want to look at a few of the specific words, specific ideas, perhaps put them in a new meaning or a new emphasis of them. We'll start by looking at what we can expect from Adonai with a few things from the Shema. And in fact, the first few words, Shema Israel. Now, very often we pay attention to the word Shema, right? We do the listen and we do the do part. We understand those words. But what about the second word, Israel? We know it references the people who are descendants of Jacob and who had his name changed to Israel by Adonai. But is it really only the physical descendants of Israel? It's used, I believe, to represent all the people of Adonai. One of the meanings of Jacob, before his name was changed, one of the meanings of Jacob is to follow or to be behind. But his name was changed when he was called to walk along with Adonai. Now we see this in Genesis 32. So we're going to go to Genesis 32, 29. Then he said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but rather Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men, and you have overcome." Adonai says to Jacob that he's overcome. And the word there is Yahoh. This word is not really used to show that in the struggle, Jacob was the winner, right? We don't say Jacob won over Adonai, but he was able to maintain himself during the struggle. No longer was he lagging behind, but now he has shown himself able to walk alongside with Adonai. It showed a change in the position of Israel, but not a change in the position of Adonai. Adonai was still Elohim, but now Israel was able to somewhat understand and keep up with him. And for each of us, Jew or Gentile, when we walk alongside Adonai, we are reaffirmed as people of his. And therefore, I believe that we can be called, all can be called as part of Israel. Now, don't be confused. I am not saying that as a Gentile, you become Jewish. We know that a Gentile can never become Jewish, and a Jewish person can never become a Gentile. But we can say that we all walk along with Adonai, and therefore become a part of Israel. When we say Shema Israel, we should not only hear what we are to do, but also that we are his people, walking with him. And therefore, what we expect is that he is our God. This is the very basis of our relationship with him, that he is our God. Therefore, we believe it and will act upon it. We expect that as God, he will act as God, which we'll get into in just a little bit. Because that brings us to the next phrase, Adonai Eloheinu, indicating that he is our God. Adonai being his name, Eloheinu meaning he is God, our God. He tells the truth. He acts on the truth. And he is the only true God who created all and cares about his creation. Psalm 100 says this towards the beginning, Psalm 100, 3 through 5. Know that Adonai, he is God. It is he who has made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Praise him, bless his name, for Adonai is good. His loving kindness endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. He is the only God, and besides him there is no other God. The world may not believe it, but he is the one who not only created each of us, but also formed the light in the darkness. And he brings peace, and he allows chaos. The world questions the origin of all things, but it all came from the one true God. As a way to explain even further about who he is, the next phrase says, Adonai Echad, the Lord is one. There are some discussions about what this means because of the way it's interpreted. Some say the Lord is one, the Lord one. Does it mean that he is the one and only God, or that he is the only true God and all the others are false, or that he is one even as he's revealed himself by his many facets, including Abba, Yeshua, the Ruach, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. This means that we are not to be confused into thinking that each facet's a different God. The thing about Adonai Echad is that all of these interpretations are correct. He is the only God. He is the only one God, regardless of how many different ways that we see him. This gives us an explanation of what we can and should look to him for. He has revealed himself to be the only one God, and therefore we can depend upon him to be dependable. He has said, and therefore he is not going to change what he said. It also means that we don't need to continue to keep looking for something or someone else. We can rest, we can depend upon, we can rely on him, we can lean on him, we can be sure of who he is and what he stands for. He is the one, and he does not change in form, he doesn't change in his desires, and he doesn't change in his requirements from us. He does not change in any way. And we depend upon this consistency of his word, which is just like him. It doesn't change. When Balak wanted Balaam to curse Israel, this is what Adonai said through Balaam in Numbers 23. Numbers 23, 19 says, God is not a man who lies, or a son of man who changes his mind. Does he speak and then not do it, or promise and not fulfill it? Of course, the answer is no. What can we expect from Adonai is consistency in word, consistency in deed, consistency in requirements of our actions. He will not set an instruction today or yesterday that will change tomorrow. This is what we get from Adonai. This idea leads us into the Avot. He is the God of our fathers. And the same instructions that were laid out for our fathers are the same for us. They may take on a different form, but they're the same instructions. The need for blood and sacrifice is an example of an instruction that appears to have changed, but it really hasn't, I say. There was a need for a payment of sin by the blood of a spotless and blameless animal. The system lasted throughout the time, including the and especially the time of the temple when it was standing. And it's continued on even today, even though many do not recognize it as the same instruction. It truly is. The need for the blood of the perfect sacrifice is still required, and is fulfilled by the sacrifice of Yeshua. The difference is not that the system is different, but the sacrifice is different and yet the same. The daily need of new animals, which was required constantly, is now fulfilled once for all time by Yeshua, as the perfect sacrifice does not need to happen over and over, but it's still required for all mankind, for salvation. The sacrificial animal was drained of the blood that was required for the payment of the sin of Israel. And then the bodies were burnt up or eaten, no longer good for anything. But Yeshua's body has neither one of these things done to it. In fact, he rose from the grave that he was placed into, never to see decay, and now lives at the right hand of the Father, making eternal intercession for each and every one of us. The body of the animal could not do this, but the person of Messiah does this for us. This is what we can expect from Adonai. And as we go further with the Avot, we hear that he bestows grace, chesed, which is even more than just grace, more than just kindness. Listen to how it's used in Jeremiah 9. Jeremiah 9, 16 through 18 says this: "But they, our ancestors, became arrogant. They stiffened their neck and did not obey your mitzvot. They refused to obey and did not remember your wonders that you did among them. Instead, they became stiff-necked in their rebellion, appointed a leader in order to return to their bondage. But you are a God of forgiveness, merciful and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. Therefore, you did not abandon them, even when they made a cast image of a calf for themselves and said, 'This is your God who brought you out of Egypt,' or when they committed great blasphemies. His loving kindness was so great that even when Israel rebelled against him, he did not abandon them." Right up to today. Even if some in the church world would want to think that Adonai has replaced Israel with the church, that's just not true. Adonai does not change his word. That's not who Adonai is or what we can expect from him. We can expect that he will never leave us, never forsake us, never give up on us, never let us lose ourselves as long as we turn back to him when we stray. We can expect a God that never fails, even when we do, and will always heal, which we hear also in the Avot, when it says that he will bring a redeemer to their children's children, which is you and I. He is our King, Helper, Savior, and Shield, regardless how how we may treat him, how we've treated him in the past, or even for some of us, how we're treating him now. As long as we turn back to him and accept the plan of salvation and atonement through the blood, which, as I said earlier, for Messiah Yeshua. And from the Gibor Adonai, we hear about him, that he is mighty forever. Not someone who needs to be replaced eventually. Someone who wears out. Or someone who tires of our antics. And boy, do we have some antics. He sustains all of his people with grace and mercy. He will take the dead of us and resurrect us by the healing power of his blood to cover the price of sin in our lives. We can expect that he remembers the righteousness of the fathers, our ancestors. And the really good news is that he does not remember the sins of our ancestors or those sins that we ourselves have committed once they have been washed by the blood, which was paid for our, paid as the price for our sin. What we can expect from Adonai is grace and mercy. Not because he owes it to us, not because we did anything that would cause him to act in any way towards us, but because of who he is in the relationship that we have with him. He gives even when we don't deserve his grace and mercy. Regardless of what we are, will go through, he is always there with us through our trials and tribulations. Let's look at one scripture from the Tanakh and one from the Brit Hadashah, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant about this. Now, from the Tanakh, we can look at what the Israelites and Joshua were about to go through when Moses was being taken from them by Adonai. And they were about to go into the promised land. It was not to be an easy task going into the promised land. But they were promised this in Deuteronomy 31, 7 and 8. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong, be courageous, for you are to go with this people into the land that I have sworn to their fathers to give them. And you are to enable them to inherit it. Adonai, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or abandon you. Do not fear or be discouraged." Again, I say it was not going to be an easy task to take the land that was promised to them, but Adonai was not going to leave them. But he would go before them and would never fail them. This is what we can expect from Adonai as well, that he will be the God that will never abandon or fail you. The writer of Hebrews echoed this in chapter 13, Hebrews 13, starting in 5. "Keep your lifestyle free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For God himself has said, I will never leave or forsake you. So with confidence we say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What will man do to me?" The word, there is a word of caution and a word of a promise of what to expect from Adonai there. The caution is that the world will try to put on you the love of money or having more stuff. But don't do that. Adonai will not leave you, so you will not have to worry about stuff. Stuff is really just temporary. You can't take it with you, as they say. The stuff is really just things for you to play with now. But they should never take too important a place in your life. It's really just temporary stuff for a temporary life in preparation for eternity with Him. We expect from Adonai to be comforted and enabled by Him as He offers His love and presence to us. Sometimes the comfort is now. Sometimes it'll be in the future. And sometimes it's the future that is our eternity that we'll inherit. But the truth is, He will always be there and He will always be our comfort. Whether it be physical or spiritual, we can always trust in Him. But we're not able to take it from Him. We can't grab it from Him just because we want it. But His loving nature is that when we turn towards Him and commit ourselves to the relationship with Him, then we can expect that He will never leave us and never let us down. Father, we just thank You that You are a God that we can trust, that You will never leave us, You will never let us down, that we can know with all certainty what it is that we can expect from You. And what we can expect from You seems sometimes to be dependent upon what we do, how we act, what we give You. But it's not. It's really dependent upon Your love, Your mercy, Your relationship with us. Yes, there are things that You're not able to do, not willing to do. I think not able to do. God is able to do all things, but He's not able to fulfill all His promises if you're not fulfilling all of your side of the relationship. Well, Father, we ask by the Ruach HaKodesh that You help us to walk in Your ways so that we're doing to fulfill Your plan. Because we know that when we're walking, doing, when we're Shemaying, then we can trust the Israel part. That when we're doing, we will be Your people. When we're Your people, we can trust in what we can expect from You. A loving God, a merciful God. Too many people look thinking You're a vengeful God. You really are not. You're a loving God. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You that You've told us what we can expect from You and that You are dependable and consistent, never changing, never fluctuating, always true. We just praise You for that, for being what we can't be, always. We can't always be true and honest. Our flesh draws us away sometimes, but Your love draws us back, and Your love allows us back into Your presence, and Your love is that constant in our life. We just thank You for that. And everyone says, amen and amen.